Hallelujah. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in and everybody that's here. Mostly the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're just going to forego greeting tonight. I don't think I'll be a whole long time, but I want to forego this so we can get accomplished and get you out of here early. The weather is supposed to diminish as the night goes on. So I want you home and safe and sound. And hallelujah. Snug as a bug in a rug. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you for your presence, Jesus. Thank you for all of you that are out there. Let me read something to you. I said Sunday that, you know, the Holy Ghost came through here with a tremendous wave of His presence and healing power. And I said, if you got something, please let us know. Well, this comes from Lisa Averett. She's a member of this church, mother of Ryan and Stephen Averett. And she wrote me this past week, or this past Monday, and said, Pastor, on November 1st, I experienced an event that left me with short-term memory loss. Yesterday, when you prayed, I experienced complete mental clarity. Over the past 2 to 3 years, you have prayed for back healing, and on 2 separate occasions, I have been healed from back pain resulting from an auto accident when I was 12, another intermediate back pain. I thank God for His healing power and your yielding to Him. Very thankful to be part of this walk with you and the rest of my church family. Love you guys. Amen. Great testimony. Hey, get ready. There's a lot more coming. I just tell you what, if you're going to hang around here, you're going to get healed. That's for sure. It's going to rub off on you. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, there'll be a offering dispenser in the back, something fancy like a little basket if you want to give. Sunday night we finished up 10 lessons of discipleship training, and praise God for that accomplishment through the Spirit. And I believe we're done, at least for now, or finished, complete for now. And so we'll see what happens, but it's good to have that accomplished. So praise God. Praise God for the victories last night. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we overlook the miraculous while searching for the spectacular. We really do. And I really believe that things are going to prove out to be far more beneficial in the days ahead. Oh, you know, I guess I was like everybody else, a little disappointed, or was disappointed. But listen, how disappointed would you have been if Ron DeSantis would have lost? How disappointed would you have been if Marco Rubio would have lost? And no chance for, I don't care if it's one more. I don't care if it's 15, 20, or 1 over the mark. If the gavel changes, it doesn't. I can't ever remember the score of who won the national championship or the Super Bowl. I can remember the team, but if they just kick an extra point and that won the game, that's all that matters. That's all that really matters. And there's still really an outside chance if Nevada holds, and there's a miracle in Georgia. Come on, Georgia. Come on. December, we're going to get a Christmas present. There still could be another change also in the Senate as well. So hallelujah. Nicole is coming, it seems, but we'll address that. Nicole is the latest. Can you believe? Only the 4th time in history since they've been recording hurricanes. I think what I read, it goes all the way back to almost the Civil War. Have they ever had a hurricane hit landfall in? Now they've had tropical storms, but I'm actually talking about a hurricane in November. This will be the 4th one, going back to 1860 something. They've been recording. So One of you in here is a Jonah. It's a Jonah. We were gonna cast lots and then throw you overboard, but now he just admits, okay, Harry, you'll have to leave. So, I guess tonight is a very, very simple. Maybe the simplest assignment I've had. I'm just supposed to read two prophecies in one chapter and not do a whole lot of commenting, although I believe I'm allowed to do some. So let's pray. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are so grateful, absolutely grateful for the victories that took place last night in the Spirit. And far more took place, will be revealed in the days ahead, of really how much God was involved. And so we thank you for it. Now we speak to this storm that is on its way to hit the other side in category one, but I say in Jesus' name that it begins to dissipate and does not have a killing or extremely harmful effect upon the other coast. And then as it approaches us or north of us, all through the state, in Jesus' name, tornadoes, all kinds of aftermath weather, in Jesus' name, we command you to be rebuked and settle down to a place where you do not cause an overextensive amount of damage or even death. We bind you, even though you are just a physical element, we command in the name of Jesus, peace, be still. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Pastor Dave Roberson would often say that the road or the path to the miracle is just as sovereign as the miracle itself. And what he meant by that was this: even before you get to the place of receiving the miracle, where it's all seemingly done, if you engage in on this path, all of everything that changes the end result is presently available to you in fullness. And all that grace that gets you there is worth the ride in getting there. Why? Because it's infused with life. It's infused with grace. It's infused with peace. Let me say it this way: the road to revival is just as wonderful, if you'll let it be, as the revival itself. Hallelujah. I, like you, am waiting or patiently enduring or going forward for revival. But my God, oh my God, what have we been given already? I'd go through this, I'd continue on this path, even if somehow I knew that there wasn't, in my lifetime, I wasn't going to get this. Why? Because I've already played church one time. I played cops and robbers and war games as a kid, and then as an adult I played church for years, just like most of the rest of the body of Christ. Then on this path, my God, I wouldn't trade it. If you got a chance to go back, I wouldn't trade it 10 times over. Every time I had to start over, if it was like Groundhog Day, the movie, I choose that path. Because on that path is peace. On this path is life. On this path is joy. On this path is soundness of mind and soundness of doctrine. I'm preaching real good now. Hallelujah. When are we going to have revival? I don't know. I'm having too good a time trying to get there. I'm so discouraged, Pastor.
because the end result hasn't happened.
My God. Nestle in. Get snug as a bug in a rug on the journey, even in your infirmity. Do you know there's a place where you can get to that even while you're going through hell, you're not really enjoying the hell. But His grace gets so efficient, you're like, I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying the ride of grace. It's like, wow. I can't feel Him. So what does that matter? What in God's name does that matter? I don't know if I've got my joy anymore. My God, there's something deeper than all kinds of human emotion. Well, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. Not if you've been paying the price. You won't be able to quit. You won't. This path, I found out it's amazing. Even when I thought I was discouraged, I really wasn't discouraged. Why? Because I could never quit. Do you know how many times I've walked across this field in 26 years? 26 years. He's tried to talk me out of it more times than you've got hair on your head, even if you've got a thick head of hair. He's tried to talk me out of it. But I've already played church one time, and I've found this path. This was given by none other than Homer calls me the big dog. Now, this is the big dog here. Pastor Dave Roberson, with all due respect. This man changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. Did he end well? Oh, my God. The foundation that he laid. Barbara said he did. He did change her life, too. And Barbara drugged me and Candy into it. Hallelujah. And drug Homer into it. Jesus. This was the first. Now I might not have this correct. Either this was the first prophecy that he gave when he started his ministry in Tulsa, or it was the first prophecy in the building. The building that presently is not being occupied. It's the endurance prophecy. Most of you have read it many times, but I was praying today and it was like endurance, endurance, endurance. Many of you are going to need endurance. You've got it already. But don't, while you're waiting to get somewhere or something to happen, stop. Smell the roses right now. Drink the wine right now. It's available right now. I need a healing in my body. Okay, he knows that. But do you know that there's present joy in the midst of your infirmity? There's present peace. We got to get to revival to have our victory. No, I'm in the victory. You and I are in the victory that will bring about revival. It's not our... The present tense road that we're on is just as glorious. What has more power when you get them out of the wheelchair and see the blind eyes open? Does that have more power than the path that took you there? Even if it doesn't seem like the signs and wonders, if we get there, then whatever took us there had absolute power, absolute authority, and we're on that path. So this is the endurance prophecy, and I'll try to read it without doing much preaching. Let me just read it. When you've done all that you know to do, stand. Stand therefore, saith the Spirit of grace. For truly I desire by my power to shake this place. For taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And again, I would say, when you've done all you know to do, stand therefore. Now this was, I would say, the mother of all prophecies. Why? Because This was the first one given, and then everything else, it seems, has flowed out of that. If you go back and say, okay, what was the single word ever given for the aspect of revival? And the Lord said, endurance. The key word shall be endurance, saith the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until endurance will produce my desired will in this place. For I will train you, says the Spirit of grace, about the snares and the traps of the enemy. For if you will pray and make it past those hard places, I will give you divine wisdom and understanding that will at last produce power that you can say is of me. For my miracles do I desire to pour out of you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before this first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourself up and be strong on my behalf. For I'll show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for eternity. They will last. So I'm giving you equipment that will work a great reward. For many of you are hungry and have desired to see these things, and I will lead you into that kind of reward. So be brave and stand strong, saith the Spirit of grace. I will work mighty, mighty miracles before this is done. You will not lose your place, for your reward shall be greatly, exceedingly great. So heed what the Spirit says, for something new I will bring this day. Can I witness to you just a minute? Can I just witness my witness? I cannot tell you except to tell you, and then you'll have to process it, and I believe that you'll believe me. But present tense, I have never, ever been more resolved in my spirit in something so deep that it's beyond even words that can express that this which we have labored for is coming to pass with absolute. There's not even a twinkle in my eye of whether or not it will take place. But I'm enjoying getting there just as much as when I am there. Hallelujah. I'll work mighty, mighty miracles before this is done. You'll not lose your place. For great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, and I can filter through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me, a place where you have known about way down deep in your spirit, that from the foundation of the world I have prepared for you. So as I lead you from place to place, I desire to flow through you with grace. And if you'll edify yourself, my God, thank you for praying in tongues. Would you lift your hands with me right now and say, thank you, Father, for praying in tongues. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for praying in tongues. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you'll edify yourself, you'll see before this is through, I will purge from you everything that is causing you to fail. You'll not only taste the victory that changes circumstances can bring, but you'll taste the victory of the resounding peace inside of you that will dominate everything in the circumference around you. Oh, for edification, 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 higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation for your life, of your life, that I may be able to remove you into intercession Intercession, he keeps, I mean, this is from the beginning. Marty and I have been talking about it in the office when he visits. He goes, intercession, that's all he keeps talking from the pulpit. Male, female, hallelujah. That you will cause those that are bound to be set free, for Satan is furious. Well, he ought to be. He really ought to be. He's furious, saith the Spirit of grace. He already is mad as a whirlwind, is stirring up the demons against this place. But stand fast, edify yourself into a place with me, and when the storms come, you'll be delivered. Oh, you will be able to deliver the power that is of me. So be glad for the wellsprings of life and the counsel in the heart of man. I will draw it out, for there is many matters of wisdom that I desire you to understand. For I will teach you to walk in power. For my children, the things between what I desire and what is now taking place is being purged every hour. For many people come to this city. For many people come to this city for training, you see. And, oh, I desire to give them full training that they may leave in power. So all of you who said, I hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be full. For I'll bring you into a place with me. Yes, I will bring you into a place with me. Hallelujah. This next one, I don't have someone that is an elder in my life, a father in my life, sends me prophecies. And I have a file, and I was going through my file today, and this one of all of them jumped out for the purpose of tonight, I'm sure. I didn't date this or have a date on it. I'm pretty sure this is also from Pastor Dave in those days. But the title is Be Unstoppable. You are in a life or death war, and there is grace for all to survive. I'll read that again. You are in a life or death war, and there is grace for all to survive. You're fighting to possess the life of Christ and his attributes and his character. As these become who you are in your daily walk, the authority you have been given will be on exhibit. It will be on display to the world. There is an evil force on assignment to stop each one of you, but there is grace not to fail. All you need, I have given you, and every key you have been taught is pertinent to the path you're on. It is a path of victory. It's a path of grace, for it is all done in my strength. You can rule and reign in every situation that comes against you as you forge forward in me. You must remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. I have given you the keys to live and abide in this place. Love will be the turning point in this journey. As you grow in your knowledge of my love, you will put on more of that nature. Your authority dwells in the nature of love. For that is who I am. The key to continue without looking back or letting up on this path that's been given to you, pray much. Worship much, meditate much, and heed the instructions on fasting. It will take you past everything that does not believe who I have made you to believe or to be. When you know who you are in me and in my family, your walk will be as mighty, mighty force against the enemy's forces, and you will prevail. It is not time to wait and see what happens, what the enemy will bring. It's a time to act on all that has been spoken and on all that you know to do and to forge ahead in this hour. I have said it is the hour of division, the division of the soul and spirit, and it is. It is of prime importance to be unstoppable on this path of putting away the soulish nature, the nature of the flesh, and putting on the nature of my Son, which is the nature of your new man. You can prevail against all the enemy brings, and you can come through the storm rejoicing. You can walk as an army in triumph, and you can. You will win every situation you face as you heed your instructions. Do the things that I have learned. You have learned and succeed. This is grace in my family to succeed. There is grace in my family to succeed. I want to read a chapter, and I have to go to the Amplified. This is Paul writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. You can follow along in the King James if you'd like. It'll be somewhat different, of course, and just listen if you'd like. This is Paul writing, as I said, to his spiritual son, Timothy. And because the Lord is speaking to us in this short service about continuing on with a resolve of an endurance, Paul instilled that in his spiritual son. And if there's ever a chapter that speaks of endurance, it's this one, and a book that it speaks of a lifelong endurance, it's 2 Timothy. Paul is about to be executed. He's within just a short time in Rome. He's in prison. This is probably his second and last arrest. It's the last book he writes, and he's about to be martyred. It's important. Let me read. You listen. So you, my son, be strong, strengthened inwardly in the grace, the spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. And the instructions which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. Take with me your share of hardships and sufferings, which you are called to endure as a good first-class soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and to please the one who enlisted him. And if anyone enters competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. It is the hard-working farmer who labors to produce who must be the first partaker of the fruits. Think over these things, I'm saying, and understand them and grasp them, their application. For the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as risen from the dead, as prophesied King descended from David, according to the good news, the gospel that I preach. For that gospel, I'm suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. Therefore, I'm ready to preserve and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. The saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny and disown and reject us. If we are faithless, do not believe, and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of the Lord to avoid petty, controversial controversies over words which does no good but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. Study and be eager to your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing, accurately dividing, rightly handling, and skillfully teaching the word of truth. But avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their teaching will devour it, will eat as its way like a cancer, or spread like a gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have missed the mark and swerved from the truth by arguing that the resurrection has already taken place. They are undermining the faith of some. But the firm foundation laid by God stands sure and unshakable, bearing this seal, inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names himself by the name of the Lord give up all iniquity and stand aloof from it. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood, earthware, and some of honor and noble use, and some of menial and ignoble use. So also cleanse himself from that what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated, profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Shun youthful lusts and flee from them, and aim at and pursue righteousness, all that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed, and aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others, and fellowship with all Christians who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. But refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifle, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid, controversial controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. Okay. I didn't even think to do this, but he said to do this. Now, some of you will put a mark on this, and it's okay. Sometimes it's okay. Because anybody that's involved or has any application with this in their thoughts, I've already spoke with them, and they're very mature. In fact, this involves all of you at times. This is not just one person. It'll be a number of you involved. Let me say this for the future, and now I'm talking to this group. And then if you were here, you'd understand, and you'd, wherever you're at, this is a good application since we just read this concerning don't get involved in trifle, questionings, and ongoing arguments. As we come and progress, we're going to have a lot of children being born into the kingdom here. Okay. There's a difference between discipling as in just helping with maybe momentary understandings and being pulled into, with all good intentions, what Paul is talking about here. Now, you'll understand this because I'll step out of the way to explain this. It's not me that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the anointing in this pulpit, okay, and the anointing that's on the Word. If somebody comes to you and wants to know more about the service or what was said or this, that, and the other, you're not going to be able to do a better job explaining it than it was already just explained. The anointing is, how can I say, the anointing is so thorough and it's concise. The anointing is, and this Bible is a very concise book. In other words, there's 10 million more books that could have been written to explain word by word. But it's like one sentence in the Holy Ghost. You know when the Holy Ghost speaks to every one of you, he can just say two words and you could write 10 books on it because you know everything, you know what he meant. Okay. So I would encourage you, you're going to make disciples, but just be careful that you're not drug into things that are extensive because they're unnecessary. They'll pull on you. What is said in the pulpit is more than enough if they're truly engaged. You can help out. That's why we have discipleship training manual. You can help out. You can refer that. Or you can... But if they're not getting it on their own, you can spend months and days and weeks and years and never get it over to them. Now, I'm not... And you're going to be the same way. You're going to train people, but you can't be a mentor. You can help disciple them, but what does a mentor mean? That you just sit down with them and just spoon feed them. There's a difference. You can help them as a trainer, teacher kind of, but there's only one mentor, and that's the Holy Ghost. And you've got to try to just... That's the thing I loved about Pastor Dave. He just turned us over. He taught us the how-tos and said, go do it. How do I answer these questions? Go do it. Go. And you can tell if somebody's not praying because they'll have 10 million questions that was just covered in church.
So it doesn't matter if you try to help them, because if they're not praying, do you understand? You'll just spend your wills, and all of you, and I say that because all of your mature and whatever you have done to try to help people is perfect in that sense. But we're in training. And this is Wednesday night. And so this is the word. Where do you get what you just said? I just read it. Don't get into endless questionings that gender strife leads you off into all kinds of explanations. That's exactly what he just said. Okay. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting, and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone, mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be skilled and suitable teacher, patient, forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him henceforth to do his God's will. Amen. I'm reminded what Pastor Dave used to say. He would say, many Christians are, that verse reminded me, he said, much of the church is running around rebuking Satan from a stronghold that he put him in, or rebuking Satan out of a stronghold that he put him in. In other words, they're in the stronghold that they willfully are giving excuses for and yet demanding him to leave their life. Well, this is where praying in tongues. I'm so glad for this walk. I just can't tell you how glad I, you know, well, Pastor, you just keep, throw out the revival, okay? Take that away from me. Just take away the miracles and the masses, and I'm not living for that anyhow. Well, I thought you were living. No, my life comes from there's a vine that keeps feeding me every day. And because he wants it and I want it too, that's what I've been apprehended for. But if you took the revival, just the path is worth me living. I just love praying in tongues. My God, it just feeds me. You just keep yelling about revival. Okay. Take that part of the equation out of my life. This is still, hands down, the best path to be on. Doctrine, soundness of, just to have a sound mind of doctrine. My God. And you hear other Christians talk, and you just, concerning doctrine, and you think, oh God, even if you took revival away from me, this is hands down is the best deal going on the planet. I want to follow a man that wrote a book like this to Timothy. The next chapter, now listen, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong about having money. But explain your leader. Okay, I'm following this guy. Explain in vernacular of 21st century Christian, explain to your friend, this man that you're following, that's really, you're following him. He's a father in your life. So Timothy, Paul is his father, spiritual. Explain to somebody the whereabouts and the condition. I'm following this guy. The doctrine and what he's taught me and okay. Where's his headquarters? It's in Rome. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Rome. Can we see him? Not unless you've got a jail ministry. Well, a man like that's got to have success. I'm sure God's validated him by his success. You get the bequeathing next chapter. Really, whatever he was going to. What did he have at the end? Well, I bequeath to Timothy. He didn't say it like that. I'm just. My Rolex watch. My black Lexus. Titus gets the white one. My summer home I'm giving to, you know, Tryphosis or Tryphenus or whatever. Would you just bring me the parchment, the books? I want to cry. Don't forget the cloak, the sweater, a few little hand things that you could bag up in a grocery bag and carry to him. That's all he had. And that's, you're going to describe the man you're following, the success. Yeah, but you don't understand. He gave me life. He gave me a life doctrine of endurance. To go into the fullness of God and look at Jesus face to face one day and say, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day. And not only to me only, but all those who serve him. Hallelujah. I wouldn't trade this walk. Revival's just the cherry on top. Revival's just the cherry on top. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you and praise you, Jesus. I glorify you and worship you, Jesus. This walk, Lord's not our walk. It's the walk that the apostles walked in, his footprints, his spiritual footprints, after he left the planet. And Father, I'm so thankful, and I give you all the praise and all the glory. I thank you for the day that, Lord, you begin to bring me and all of us into this walk, this path. And Father, I give you all the praise. I give you all the, I wouldn't trade it, Lord. I wouldn't trade it for silver or for gold. I wouldn't trade it for anything, Father. The path is just as wonderful as the end result. We're looking for a city that we call revival, a city set on a hill. But Father, on this road, we're already rejoicing because of all the splendor that you've given us. The peace is worth it. The peace is worth it, Lord. The life involved in it is absolutely worth it. And we give you all the praise. We worship you. We're on a path that, Lord, is just as blessed as the end of the path. And we give you all the praise. Yes, we'll endure. Yes, we'll endure. Our commitment is yes, we'll endure to the end. And we praise you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, short service, as I said, we're going to let you get home. And we're just going to believe that storm. We're going to get some of it, but we're not going to get. It's not going to be, I think it's a category one, but we're going to believe it just dissipates before it ever really gets going. So, hallelujah. Love all you. We'll see you Sunday. Blessings to all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.